Today I'm going to share a word with you about speaking in tongues. Now don't you start thinking, oh, I know all of that already. Do you know what I'm going to, I believe I will tell you something in the message today that you don't know. There's going to be something you didn't know. You can correct me later on if you think I was wrong, okay? Let's just pray. So, Father God, we are here, and we just rejoice in your kingdom. Lord, we rejoice in everything that you've done for us. Thank you for the testimony Esther has just shared. Oh, Father, you are such a good God. When we put our trust in you, you give us the desires of our hearts. But Father, there are so many mysteries about you. But we rejoice in those mysteries too. And today, as we hear your word about speaking in tongues, we ask that you give us deeper revelation about you and your mysteries. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
It has taken mankind 2,000 years for science to finally figure out what speaking in tongue does to people. 2,000 years to confirm what the Bible actually says about speaking in tongues. I find that so fascinating. Oh, how blessed we are when we just believe the word. Because if you're waiting for science to prove it, you can be waiting for 2,000 years. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. I'm in the New King James. He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself or herself. When we speak in tongues, we are building ourselves up. We are strengthening ourselves. There's been several studies about speaking in tongues. It's very interesting what they find out. Some studies in 2006. And so they were monitoring people's brain while they're speaking in tongues and confirming that the language doesn't come from the brain. It doesn't come like when you speak your own language. But then in 2020, they were doing a very detailed study. It was done by the University of Budapest, and the thesis was called Enhanced Verbal Statistical Learning in Glossolalia 2020. That's just a fancy word for speaking in tongues. Because if you're doing a thesis at university, you have to use the right language. So basically, enhanced verbal statistical learning in speaking in tongues. And they covered more than 1,000 evangelicals in the UK in their study. And then they produced all the results. The findings. Number one, speaking in tongues is not a sign of mental illness. Praise God for that. It showed there is no disorganized thinking when you speak in tongues. The people that speak in tongues frequently rarely suffer mental health problems. Rarely suffer mental health problems. That confirms the word of God. The people that speak in tongues are more emotionally stable than those that don't. Amen. We know this from our own experience. Next one. Listen to this one. It improves your immunity. It improves your immunity by 30%. Wow. Whoa. Whoa. That's a lot more than just eating an apple a day. by 30%. Yes, this is the word of God confirmed. It enhances the ability to recognize patterns and identify emerging trends. Yes, it's doing something in your brain. Chaos turns into patterns. It gives the ability to extract information. Number four, the people that speak in tongues have superior performance in learning grammar and understanding the sequence of sounds. It just makes me think about the Garden of Eden. Because remember, when the snake came and spoke to Eve, she didn't turn around and said, "Oh, an animal spoke to me." No, no, she already understood what the animal said, didn't she? Well, it would sound like it. So speaking in tongues, it takes us back to our original state. And we get this understanding on the sequence of sound. And number five, it improves learning skills. And when they compared people that speak in tongues, and then they took people that in the natural speak multiple languages, they found that the area of the multiple languages, that gray area, was enlarged, but it also was for those speaking in tongues. So something happens in our brain that enhances these various abilities when we speak in tongue. Okay, I'm going to take you to scripture now. And I want to start by showing to you that everything the Holy Spirit does to you, through you, happens through your spirit man. Always through the Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't start through your body. Holy Spirit starts always through your spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord sanctifies us, how does he do it? He works through our spirit first, and then our soul, and then our body. And you'll see there's many scriptures that shows, and in the Bible, the Lord always puts our spirit person first, our spirit man first, and then our soul, and then our body. You see? So when our immune system is improved through speaking in tongue, we shouldn't be surprised, because the spirit speaks through our human spirit, and then it goes into our soul, and then it goes into our body, and it makes us well. It makes us well. In the scripture from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 14, through this passage of scripture, it teaches us that all spiritual things that we need to understand come through our spirit. So when we say, "I got a revelation," the revelation is like it's landed in our soul and we are starting to understand it. But it always was in our spirit. Our spirit already knows God. Our spirit is connected. When we are born again, our spirit, in the instant where we become a new being, our spirit is made whole. Our soul and our body remains in process. If you go and check the mirror after you committed your life to the Lord, you'll find that your hair is exactly the same as before. Yes. You look the same, your body is the same. Your soul starts off the same, and then there is a sanctification that takes place. But our spirit is instantly made whole, a new creation in Christ Jesus when we are born again. So when we're speaking in tongues, it's for our edification, our building up. This is how God designed it. So we shouldn't be surprised that we are healthier in our soul, so we are less likely to be depressed or suffer from mental illness. And if this is an area that you struggle with, the suggestion is speak more in tongues. If your immune system is low, speak more in tongues. Speak more in tongues and build yourself up. It's a wonderful gift. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful gift. Now let's look at the Bible and remind ourselves how the Holy Spirit came. So remember, before Jesus left this earth, he said to the disciples, wait for the power. Wait until you get the power. And so they were all together on the day of Pentecost. We know as Pentecostals, we just love those scriptures. It reminds us, yes, what the Lord has done for us. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them that were gathered. All of them, no exception. There was 120 of them, and how many spoke in tongues? 120. Not even 119. No, 120. Every one of them spoke in tongues. Every one of them was filled with the Spirit. Every one of them were filled with boldness, and they looked like they were drunk. That's what the scripture tells us on the day of Pentecost. But to be fair, did they understand what was taking place? Well, not really. So look, we're all in the same boat. We don't need to understand everything that the Holy Spirit does in our life. We don't understand it typically when it happens. Later on. Because it comes through our spirit and then it goes into our souls. Our soul has our mind and our understanding and our thinking. And our thinking and our emotions can be way, way behind what happens in the spirit. This is quite normal. So on the day of Pentecost, everybody's like, what's going on here? What's going on? And then the Holy Spirit fell on Peter and he stood up and he started to speak to the people. And he's referring to the book of Joel. He said, that's what was prophesied in Joel. And then he's able to lead them into repentance and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But he actually doesn't really, as far as we know for what is written in the book of Acts, he doesn't actually really explain the speaking of tongues as such. He just focuses on the message that the Holy Spirit gives him. And it's later on in the New Testament, when Paul comes along, that he gives us much more extensive teaching about the speaking in tongues and the things of the Spirit. And this is where we get our understanding. And then when we read about Paul, we read everywhere where Paul goes, he says to the people, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? It's the first question he typically asks everywhere he travels. So he asks them, he checks, are they saved? And then he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? So again, you see that receiving of the Holy Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit through you is a separate, is an after salvation. You can receive it at the same day that you get saved. But sometimes there can be a time lag in between. And that's why Paul, everywhere he goes, he starts off by saying, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? What if they said, no, we didn't? What did he do? Let's look. Acts 19:2 is where he asks the question, have you received? And then Acts 19, verse 6, it says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell, and they spoke in tongues. But then, later on, sometimes the Holy Spirit would just fall on people, and they would start speaking in tongues. But if they hadn't, then Paul would lay hands on them, and they would receive. So it can happen through the laying of our hands or just Holy Spirit just coming. But Paul made sure that they all received. Why? Because it was the teaching of Jesus. He knew we need it. We need the Holy Spirit helping us. Speaking in tongues does not make me a superior person as such. I speak in tongues because I need the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the key thing. I need the help of the Holy Spirit every day, which is why I speak in tongues, because I need His help. When we speak in tongues, we are communicating with God, and it's supernatural. 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. I find it useful to consider three different expressions of tongues in Scripture to help our understanding. Because there's been a lot of confusion about tongues. And there's three different expressions. The first one is speaking in tongues as our prayer language. This is the tongue which is for every believer. This is our inheritance as the people of God. And if you've not received it yet, you can receive today. Yes, we can receive today. It's for every believer. And it's the commandment of Jesus to receive. All believers have access. It helps us to pray perfect prayers to the Lord. Perfect prayers. Because our language is so limited, isn't it? You know, we do the intercession calls and we pray for various things, and then we say, okay, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Lord has commanded us to do. And then as each of us starts to pray, sometimes we kind of follow our own words because we have such a complicated situation in the world, because we know the Lord is for Israel, and yet God is compassionate for every people group. And God doesn't want anyone to perish. And so when we are praying, it's difficult how to pray. Except the Holy Spirit helps us. And when we pray in our prayer language, we are praying the perfect will of the Lord. And we are not stumbling. We are not searching in our minds, how do I pray this out? When we pray, it's not of human origin. It's not of human origin. It is of the Holy Spirit, and it edifies us. In the Old Testament, it talks about stammering lips. The scripture talks about stammering lips. Do not think because your tongue language sounds like stammering that it's of less value. No, 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 no. No, the Holy Spirit doesn't make any mistakes. And so when you're receiving, especially you're receiving your prayer language for the first time, it can sound very repetitive. Do not be put off by that, because the scripture talks about stammering lips. It's fine. You're good. It is the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17, he who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. I'm joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. My spirit man is joined to the Lord, which means the Holy Spirit is inside of me. The best way, I think, to describe it, just to make it simple, because it is simple, it's like, if you take two glasses of water and you pour them into one jug, once they're poured into the jug, you can't see and separate them. They have become one. And that is what it's like with the Holy Spirit and our human spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes inside, we are completely made one in our spirit. And so when we come to Romans 8, 26 to 27, if you want to show that, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. But he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when our spirit, our human spirit is praying, it's like the Holy Spirit is praying, because the two are one, because we are joined together. So that is why it's very powerful to use the prayer language that God gives us, speaking in tongues. It is very powerful because we are allowing the Holy Spirit to help us to pray the will of God, to pray the right way. There's many things that we want to pray for where we really are struggling to know how to put the words together. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. I think our biggest problem is we give up praying in tongues too quickly. You pray for 20 seconds instead of 20 minutes. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is fast, but 20 seconds is pretty short. I think today the Lord is encouraging every one of us, including myself, to use this beautiful gift so much more. Because he's reminding us how powerful it is for building ourselves up, but also for praying the will of God, that the kingdom of God would come here, that we would see the move of God that he desires to bring. But he's waiting on us, the church. He's waiting on us to intercede. He's waiting on us to make the decision to spend that extra time in prayer, in intercession, in speaking in tongues. I know we are all busy lives, but this is a great investment. If you don't take a time out for praying in tongues every day, carve out 10 minutes every day. Just do it. Our lives are made up of the decisions we make. The decisions we make to go to church every Sunday has transformed our lives, hasn't it? The decision we make to walk with Jesus and follow his word every day has transformed our lives. If you make a decision to increase your time in praying in tongues, you will be transformed even more into the likeness of the Lord. You will. I will. It's the word of God. Don't go by emotions. Where do your emotions sit? Does your emotions sit in your spirit? No. Your emotions is part of your soul. That means your emotions are behind. You follow the spirit. And so you make your decisions. This is how much, and we all have different lives and we are on different chapters of our lives. Some people have more time than others. But carve out that time to pray in the spirit. And you will be so edified, your life will change. You know, you can pray in tongues when you are in the car. You can pray in tongues in the shower, while you're doing the dishes, while you're playing with the children, while you're working in the garden. Praying in tongues, make it a lifestyle. Because praying in tongues, as we pray, initially you may be sense nothing, but as you spend time, your spirit is being stirred up by the Holy Spirit, and that changes you, and you start to feel the prayer burden, and you start to get revelation. So there comes a switch over where you're no longer just in the spirit, but your spirit comes upon you, and the Holy Spirit comes upon all of you. That is when there's a transition that takes place. And that is in that area when the Spirit comes upon us, that we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, And we act, we are like the small Jesus now, because the Holy Spirit comes upon us. But it's for us to press in to get to that place, because our flesh doesn't always feel like it. So we have to discipline ourselves to live like that. So the first expression of tongues is the prayer language, which is for every believer. And if you've not received it, you can receive it today. Absolutely. No questions. Holy Spirit always comes because it's the Word of God, it's the promise of the Father. Have you ever prayed for somebody to get saved, but the Father didn't show up? No. Every time we lead a person to Christ and a person repents for their sin, they are born again. Whether they feel like it or not, it happens. Why? It's the promise of the Father. It's the same. The Father has promised the Holy Spirit to those that ask. So the Holy Spirit will come. Now the person might slip up their lips and not express the prayer language yet, but the Holy Spirit will have come because they have asked. God is not like a man. He does not lie. When he makes a promise, it happens. So it's with confidence that we lay our hands on people when they want to receive the Holy Spirit, because we know God will do it. Not maybe. He always does. He always does. And it's just for the person to learn not to keep their mouth closed. They have to cooperate. They have to cooperate. So that's the prayer language. The second expression, you could call it a proof tongue. It's like proving to an unbeliever. And this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, verses 6 to 8. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, when this sound occurred, and the multitudes came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all of these speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each of our own language in which we were born?" They were bewildered. They thought, "How are these people able to speak my language? They never learned my language." They were all bewildered. How did this happen? Supernatural. Supernatural. So that's another expression of tongue. It was like a sign to the unbeliever. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:22, "Therefore tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but those who believe." So here he says, it's a sign to the unbelievers. Melvin has got a brother, David. David was having an open air here in Scotland in Dunoon and preaching the gospel. And there were some people listening and some people not interested. Holy Spirit came upon him and he started to speak in a tongue, but it was a human tongue. It was actually Gaelic. And he looked at the man's face and the man's face was mortified at what God spoke. And whatever God said, the man was like, "Oh, it's a serious business. It's a serious business." God can arrest a person just like that. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit speaks through one of his vessels in the language of that person, but the person giving the message doesn't even know what they're saying. But God knows exactly. I heard of another person, and she was really, really struggling, and she went to this meeting, and there was somebody speaking in tongues, and it was her language, and the Holy Spirit said, "Have I not told you to stop smoking?" Whoa. Yes. God can speak in all different ways. So this is, we call it like a proof tongue. It's a tongue. It doesn't need interpretation because it is a language for a particular person. The third expression is like the prophetic tongue or the gift of tongue, which is, it sounds exactly like the tongue language, but it has a different purpose. This is where people get confused. So this is important. And Paul explains it all in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, 27 and 28. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. So, here, in this chapter, in Corinthians, Paul is addressing when the church comes together. He's now not talking about when you are in your prayer closet, when you're in your shower or your car and you're doing your prayer language. He's talking about when we all come together. So this could be we are together in the women's group or the men's group, in the house meeting, or here on a Sunday. It could be a small gathering. It doesn't need to be just Sunday, but it's the people of God getting together. And Paul is instructing how things should operate. And here he describes one of the gifts of the Spirit. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This is not edification of yourself. This is edification of the body of Christ. This is for the church. For one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit, another one a word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another one gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So beautiful. So, the third category or expression of tongues is the gift of tongues. And this is for the body of Christ. This is not for building yourself up. It's a gift. This is clear from Paul's teaching. It's not everybody that has that gift, but you can pursue it. You can pursue it. Because he says, earnestly desire. So we can all pursue it. And the Lord blessed me with the gift of speaking in tongues. And I was just a young person. I was saved when I was 12. And within the first year, I kept pursuing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In those days, the way that I was hearing the message was, you have to tarry on the Lord. You have to wait. So I kept going forward and sitting and praying, please God, please. I didn't really understand that actually it's available just there and then to receive. So it's important that we teach, just like Paul did. He asked them, have you received? If not, he laid hands on them, they received there and then. But I did receive it. And then when I would go to church, and we would all be standing up and praying, I would speak in tongues. And then one day, I must have been 12 and a half or 13, the pastor came up to me and he says, when you speak that tongue, just speak it out loud because I will interpret it for you. I was like, oh, that was the gift of tongue. It's the gift of tongue. So that is for the edification of the whole body of Christ. When this happens, when a group of believers come together, it's like when we come together, the Holy Spirit in us picks up the need of the whole group, right? Because in your body, if you've got a sore toe, your head knows about it. It's just how the body is made. The body of Christ picks up what's going on. And so when we come together, the Holy Spirit picks up and knows all the needs. And that's how sometimes there is a burden that comes, and there's a tongue that comes that has that extraordinarily heavy weight on it. And so when we deliver a message in tongue which is for the body of Christ, it will have that extra weight on it. It will be loud. It will have a quality, and you just know this is God speaking. As a person myself that has that gift, I feel the Holy Spirit is suddenly coming on me. I feel the Spirit of God on me, and I just know. I then have to sense and make the decision, do I speak it or do I not, you see? But I sense it. I remember one day Sammy was telling me about when she gets a prophetic word, and she says, she knows it's from the Lord. She says, my stomach turns like a washing machine. Now that makes sense to me, because a spirit man is in our belly. So, you know, it would be like the washing machine. When we watch our little grandson, he has his own program. He stands and he watches the washing machine like this, turning our washing machines. But when the Spirit comes on us, and you will know what I mean, because when the Spirit comes on you for your gift, you sense that, it's just a knowing. It's a knowing when the Holy Spirit comes on us. The Holy Spirit will come on us whenever we have need. He will come, but we have to be sensitive to it. That's why speaking in tongues in your prayer language gets you in tune. You have to be in tune so that we don't miss it. So it's a heightening of a tongue. There's a quality and there's an authority that comes with it. Now, a message in tongue for the church tends to be short. Have you noticed interpretations can be longer? Because the tongue itself is the Holy Spirit speaking, and he's concise and he's sharp. Holy Spirit, he doesn't go like, oh, how can I express this? No. Holy Spirit is always concise, to the point, nails it right there and then. When the interpretation comes, it comes from a human being. And there's a little bit sailing this way, sailing. You know, because it's not a translation, it's an interpretation. So it will typically take longer. And as we've read about Paul there, when he laid hands on them and they spoke in tongues, but then they went into prophesying. So what happens is, the activation of the gifts of the Spirit, it can start off with a tongue, and then come an interpretation of tongue, but it can trigger prophecies. And so the Holy Spirit starts to move, and many people call this the dancing hand of God. The Holy Spirit taps, this person is used. Tap, this person is used. This person is used. Why? Yes, this is what Paul says when we all come together. When we all come together. First Corinthians 14, verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has... And then there's a whole list. This or this or this or this or this. When you all come together, when you come to church, before you come or before you go to your home group, before you go to the women's group, prepare your heart. So the dancing hand of God doesn't need to skip you because you're asleep. Let the dancing hand of God touch you and be used. It's so amazing. Aren't we privileged to be in the kingdom and the Holy Spirit works through us? He says, one has a psalm, one has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. Just talking about the gifts. This is talking about the body of Christ coming together. And we all have something. This is how the Lord wants to work. It is like the Lord Jesus being in our midst and operating, because the Lord Jesus, he operated in all the gifts of the Spirit. And so when we come together, we are the body. And so you have the dancing hand of God going from person to person, activating the gifts and the prophecies, and it's just beautiful. Now, when there's a tongue for interpretation, as in the gifts of the tongue, it can be three things. It can either be a prayer or praise, or can be God's response. In our prayer language tongues, we are speaking this way, vertical. We are speaking to God, vertical. The tongue is vertical, and then when the interpretation comes, it's horizontal. It's interpreting what has been said, which could have been praise to God. When we speak in tongues, we could be praising God. This happens a lot during our worship when we come together here on a Sunday morning. We are worshiping the Lord, and then we flow over in our tongue language, and we are still worshiping and declaring His glory. Yes? You can feel it in your spirit, and you just know that tongue that you've got, that this is praise and worship. This is declaring His glory. It's very, very powerful, which is why we don't hold back. We allow the Spirit to be expressing His glory. We are praising God and thanking God. It can also, when we have tongues, be a prayer. But it can also be God's response back. The Lord gives us instructions. So when it is a tongue which is for the whole church, it needs to be interpreted. That's what Paul teaches. And then he puts like a limit on it. I guess if you had 20 tongues and 20 interpretations, you would walk out and probably forgotten all of them because you'd be overwhelmed. So he just, it's not like an exact science how many, but it's kind of limited so that we can actually take on board what the Lord is saying. And so there's a level of order in God's house. This is what Paul is telling us here. It's such a marvelous, marvelous gift. This is what Life Center, this is what we are about. Because we want the Holy Spirit to flow amongst God's people so that the church and the body of Christ can be built up. It's really important, therefore, that we learn to walk sensitive to the Spirit of God. Let your gifts flow. Spend that time. Take time out. I encourage every one of us, including myself, to carve out that time in the prayer closet, praying in tongues, allowing the Holy Spirit. Esther was sharing about how she was deciding that job. There's many decisions you have to make in your life. Is this a job for me or is this not? Should I live here? Should I move here? What is God's will? Do I have objects in my house I shouldn't have? Am I watching something I shouldn't? How do you know if it's God's will or not? Well, if you start to pray in tongues for it, and you continue to pray until you have the Holy Spirit upon you, you will know very quickly. Because if you've got an object in your house that's not pleasing God, Holy Spirit will withdraw. He's very sensitive. So then you will know, you will have the answer. You will have the answer. And you will know, is this the place I to move to? Is this the right job? You will know. Because the Holy Spirit, when we pray in tongues and we press in until He's upon us, we become very sensitive and we know the will of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:31, if you can put that up. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, some translation says. The gift is talking about here is the word charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. We are to desire the gifts of the Spirit. I used to think, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit will just give out gifts and then we'll just to be content. But actually, that's not what the scripture says. We have to earnestly desire. Come on, go and ask. Do your children not come to you when they have wishes and say, Mommy, Daddy, can I have this? Can I have that? Of course they do. So we should go to our Heavenly Father. We should ask. We should earnestly desire and seek the gifts because it's needed. It's needed. We need the gifts. And then right in the middle of Corinthians where Paul describes all the gifts, you have the love chapter, chapter 13. Have you noticed that? It's interesting, right in the middle, because Paul wants to make sure that we understand everything we do, we have to do in love. God gives you a gift of healing. That's not so that you can have a great ministry. It's because he wants that person not to suffer. He wants to heal the person. May our motives always be correct. May we always have the love of the Father in our heart. The Lord is reminding me, it's not so that you can have a marvelous testimony up on the website. It's because the Lord wants to heal that person, wants to free that person. We need to remember that. Every gift is wrapped up in the Father's love. And it's because of His love that He pours out these gifts. Because He wants to reach the people. So earnestly desire these gifts. That's the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit, which is different from the people gifts. The people gifts being the prophets, the apostles, the teachers. That is a different word, although in English we use the word gifts for both of them. But one is people gift versus the Spirit gift. And it's the Spirit gift that Paul says that we earnestly should desire, so that the dancing hand of God is in operation, so that what the Father wants to accomplish when we come together can be accomplished by us being obedient. Whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all these things be done for edification. ESV translation says, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. So what's the conclusion? Let's finish with 1 Corinthians 14:15. Paul again speaking. What is the conclusion then? He says, I will pray with the Spirit. This is small s. And I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. So again, back to our prayer language for speaking in tongues. See how Paul has done it. And Paul said that he said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. I don't think I know anybody that had greater revelation than the Apostle Paul. And he spoke in tongues more than anybody. So how did he get his revelation, huh? He spoke in tongues more than anyone. And he says, this was his conclusion. If you want to sing, you start off singing in tongues. And then you sing with your understanding. If you want to pray, you pray in tongues and then switch to your understanding. Because what happens when we pray in tongues and then we switch to pray in our understanding in one of our own languages is that we will actually get and find ourselves praying things that didn't come from our own mind. Yeah. It's wonderful when we pray, and then suddenly you think, oh, where did that come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. Because we pray in tongues first, our spirit man is activated with the Holy Spirit, and then we get in our own language and our understanding, we start to get revelation, what is the will of God, and then we nail it. We nail it because we pray in tongues, and then the mind starts to take over, so you switch back to tongues again to get back in line with the Spirit, you see? And that's how he says, you pray in tongues, then your understanding, then tongues, then understanding. So that we are spirit-led. This is really powerful. It works. It works. And you get revelation. Holy Spirit will drop ideas, how to do something, what the answer is to something. He will give you the wisdom with a difficult relationship, a difficult neighbor. He will give you a word of knowledge, how you break down a wall somewhere. The Lord works by His Spirit through us. Let us determine as God's people to spend much longer praying in tongues. Now that we've been reminded today, it builds up our immune system. How cool is that? It keeps us sane. It keeps us mentally fit and well. Yes, it does, because it's the Spirit of God. Be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Okay, just say goodbye to those on Facebook. And before we have tea and coffee, let me give you a few announcements. The first major one is...